Today is Thursday, November 21st, and this is the World Socialist Website. Trump's Cabinet of Social Counter-Revolution by Patrick Martin. As Republican President-elect Donald Trump continues to fill out his cabinet, the counter-revolutionary character of his incoming government is becoming more and more apparent. Trump's earlier nominations, mainly to the military intelligence agencies and the apparatus of domestic repression, demonstrated his determination to launch a violent fascist attack on millions of immigrants. His latest selections to federal departments that in some limited way provide social benefits to working people are aimed at disrupting their functioning or outright destroying them. The first signal of Trump's plans for social services came with his selection of anti-vaccine conspiracy theorist Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to head the Department of Health and Human Services, the huge agency that includes the Social Security Administration and the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS, which provide retirement income and health insurance for the elderly and health insurance for low-income people of all ages. Before his abortive 2024 presidential campaign, which he began contesting the Democratic Party nomination, then switched to running as an independent before finally endorsing Trump and campaigning for him enthusiastically, Kennedy was best known for his notorious lies about childhood vaccines causing autism. His multi-million-dollar effort to discredit these vaccines has had a profoundly negative effect on public health, particularly for diseases like measles, which are so contagious that a drop in the vaccination coverage below 95% of children creates the condition for a renewed outbreak. Trump has promised to empower Kennedy to go wild on health, which will have the effect of disarming the American population against the danger of diseases both old and new. Next came the selection of Dr. Mehmet Oz to head Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS. While originally a cardiothoracic surgeon, Oz became a television celebrity, first on the Oprah Winfrey program, then on his own syndicated program produced by Winfrey's production company and distributed by Sony Pictures. Oz became notorious as a promoter of dubious remedies and was denounced by fellow physicians at Columbia University for, quote, promoting quack treatments and cures in the interest of personal financial gain, unquote. He endorsed Trump's recommendation of hydroxychloroquine as a cure for COVID-19. By 2022, fully in the fascist camp, Oz entered electoral politics as the Trump-backed Republican candidate for U.S. Senate from Pennsylvania, a race which he lost narrowly to Democrat John Fetterman. In his statement nominating Oz, Trump pointed to the 9 Daytime Emmy Awards for his television show, as though that was a medical credential. He declared, quote, Dr. Oz will work closely with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to take on the illness industrial complex and all the horrible chronic diseases left in its wake, unquote. The central policy goal of these appointments is to destroy the federal public health infrastructure, even as major new pandemic threats such as H5N1 and Mpox are arising, and COVID-19 still persists as a major killer. Besides Kennedy, who opposes virtually all forms of vaccination, COVID-19 denialists, like Florida Surgeon General Joseph Lapata and Stanford University Professor of Medicine Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, a co-author of the Anti-Public Health Great Barrington Declaration, are reportedly on the short list to head agencies like the National Institutes of Health, or NIH. Oz is also a fervent supporter of private profit in healthcare, backing Medicare Advantage, the privatized version of Medicare, established through bipartisan legislation under the George W. Bush administration. He has hailed efforts to, quote, expand access to private sector plans expanded by President Trump, unquote, for Medicare recipients, which have had the effect of boosting the profits of insurance companies by giving them access to a guaranteed stream of billions of dollars from the federal government. Senator Fetterman, the Democrat who defeated Oz in 2022, said he would vote to confirm him, provided he made a commitment, quote, about protecting and preserving Medicare and Medicaid, unquote. something which any HHS nominee promises, whatever their intentions. His comment is typical of the response of congressional Democrats, who refuse to conduct any systematic opposition to the incoming ultra-right regime, confining themselves to scandal-mongering against a handful of the most provocative nominations, such as former Congressman Matt Gaetz for Attorney General. U.S. President Joe Biden, meeting Trump at the White House, promised a smooth transition and vowed to, quote, do everything we can to make sure you're accommodated, unquote. The sinister subtext of Trump's HHS nominations is that the second Trump administration is preparing massive cuts in vital health care programs, particularly Medicaid, which was expanded significantly as a consequence of the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, despite the refusal of a number of Republican-ruled states to participate. According to a report Wednesday in the New York Times, quote, conservative lawmakers and policy experts who could advise the next Trump administration are discussing long-sought cuts to Medicaid, the government health program that covers roughly a fifth of all Americans and makes up about 10% of the federal budget, unquote. Changes could include imposing work requirements on Medicaid recipients or turning the program's funding into block grants for the states, which they could use for other purposes if they deny eligibility to enough people. Trump indicated his support for such efforts, declaring that Dr. Oz would, quote, cut waste and fraud within our country's most expensive government agency, unquote. Even more dire is the prospect for federal support to public education, both K-12, and at the college and university levels. Trump announced Tuesday he was appointing Linda McMahon, the billionaire co-owner of World Wrestling Entertainment, WWE, and a longtime crony and political backer, to be Secretary of Education. McMahon headed the Small Business Administration during his first term and pumped millions into Trump's election campaign this year, then served as co-chair of his transition team, which drew up lists of potential nominees for top posts in the new administration. To say that McMahon has no qualifications to head the Department of Education is an understatement. Her background in professional wrestling, from which she and her husband Vince made their fortune, identifies her as a promoter of cultural backwardness, a carnival barker and con artist, rather than an educator. In that, of course, McMahon and Trump are birds of a feather. The Department of Education is only a subsidiary source of funding for public schools, which are mainly paid for and administered at the state and local levels. It also manages the vast $1.6 trillion college student loan portfolio, which is a significant source of revenue. Trump and the Republicans have opposed efforts to alleviate the loan burden on millions of former college students, many of them eking out a living and unable to do more than make minimum payments on their debts, if that. McMahon's only past comments on the topic of education have involved support for, quote-unquote, school choice, the effective demolition of public education through vouchers that would shift funding to private charter schools, including religious schools, violating the constitutional separation of church and state. But the America First Policy Institute, which she heads, has published papers calling for promoting, quote-unquote, patriotic education, homeschooling, the suppression of diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI, efforts in education, and the strengthening of repressive measures against students. Her appointment was hailed by the Association of For-Profit Colleges and by Moms for Liberty, the billionaire-backed right-wing campaign that seeks book banning and other forms of censorship in public schools, under the false slogan of parents' rights. Beyond the policy changes and program cuts, however, Trump has pledged support for the outright abolition of the Department of Education, which was established in 1977 by federal legislation during the Carter administration. In a statement issued Monday, billionaires Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, who head Trump's unofficial Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, called the abolition of the department a, quote, very reasonable proposal, unquote. Trump himself, in nominating McMahon, said, quote, we will send education back to the states, and Linda will spearhead that effort, unquote. In an op-ed column published Wednesday evening by the Wall Street Journal, Musk and Ramaswamy declared their determination to cut costs like a private business, that is, by slashing jobs and forcing more production from fewer workers. underscoring the dictatorial thrust of the incoming Trump regime, they wrote, quote, "We will focus particularly on driving change through executive action based on existing legislation rather than by passing new laws," unquote. Citing several recent decisions by the ultra-right majority on the Supreme Court, with 3 of the 6 appointed by Trump, the two billionaires embrace a bonfire of regulations on corporate America. This would free corporations to endanger their own workers and the public, as well as creating the conditions for slashing the jobs of federal workers. They continued, quote, "A drastic reduction in federal regulations provides sound industrial logic for mass headcount reductions across the federal bureaucracy. DOGE intends to work with embedded employees and agencies to identify the minimum number of employees required at an agency," unquote. They suggest methods ranging from, quote, "large-scale firings," unquote, forcing a, quote, "wave of voluntary terminations that we would welcome," unquote, by relocating federal agencies out of Washington and ending remote working, which the billionaires demean as, quote, "the COVID-era privilege of staying home," unquote. This is a program for social counter-revolution. Trillions will be poured into the military and into the repressive agencies, which will initially wage war on immigrants and then on the democratic rights of the working class as a whole. At the same time, the cost of militarization and repression will be paid for by the working class through the destruction of what remains of public social services like healthcare, education, and social security. U.S. Senate overwhelmingly rejects resolutions to block weapon shipments to Israel, by Jacob Cross. On Wednesday, the U.S. Senate affirmed its support for the Israeli genocide in Gaza, which has killed and injured over 300,000 people since October 7, 2023, and roundly rejected a series of resolutions aimed at blocking a fraction of a $20 billion war package the Biden administration approved for Israel in August. The resolutions, spearheaded by Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, are known as the Joint Resolution of Disapprovals, or JRDs. Wednesday's vote, while a foregone conclusion, was the first time the U.S. Senate has ever considered blocking arms transfers to Israel in over 76 years of political, military, and economic support. Not a single one of the resolutions garnered more than 19 votes, with a majority of Democratic senators and every single Republican voting overwhelmingly against all of the resolutions presented. Underscoring the Democratic Party's resolute support for ethnic cleansing, the day before the votes were held, the Biden administration sent out a memorandum urging senators not to block the weapon sales, with the implication that voting in favor of the resolutions was tantamount to supporting terrorists. The document read, according to a report from the Huffington Post, quote, "Disapproving arms purchases for Israel at this moment would put wind in the sails of Iran, Hezbollah, and Hamas at the worst possible moment," unquote. Refuting the lies from Biden, Harris, and New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez that the Democratic administration was working tirelessly towards a ceasefire, the document continued, quote, "Now is the time to focus pressure on Hamas to release the hostages and stop the war. Cutting off arms from Israel would put this goal even further out of reach and prolong the war, not shorten it," unquote. Under the Arms Export Control Act, any U.S. senator can submit a JRD to block the transfer of already approved weapon sales if the weapons are being sent to a country that is engaged in war crimes or blocking the transfer of U.S. humanitarian aid to civilians. Earlier this year, in between campaigning for Vice President Kamala Harris and defending President Joe Biden's record of war and austerity, Sanders began the process of issuing the JRDs. He was supported in these efforts by Democratic Senators Jeff Merkley of Oregon, Chris Van Hollen of Maryland, and Peter Welch of Vermont. Prior to the vote, all of the senators backing the JRDs, including Sanders, were very clear that the resolutions would not prevent the transfer of so-called defensive weapons and systems to Israel, such as air-to-air missiles for the Iron Dome and David Sling missile systems. Similarly, all of the senators, including Sanders, that spoke in favor of the resolutions made clear their support for the Israeli government and its alleged right to defend itself from Hamas. Sanders stated, quote, "As I have said many times, Israel had the absolute right to respond to that horrific Hamas attack as any other country would. I don't think anyone here in the United States Senate disagrees with that," unquote. According to the United Nations, since 1947, Israel has illegally annexed and occupied Palestinian lands, forfeiting any right to self-defense. In his remarks Wednesday, Sanders never once referred to Israel's military campaign as a genocide or ethnic cleansing. Like the other senators who supported the measure, he exclusively blamed the, quote, "Netanyahu government," unquote, while ignoring the Biden administration and his own role in perpetuating the slaughter. In an attempt to present the current Zionist regime as an aberration from previous Zionist leaders, Sanders declared, quote, "The Israel of today is not the Israel of Golda Meir," unquote. Speaking as an agent of imperialism, the Vermont senator observed that U.S. complicity in Israel's military campaign undercut, quote-unquote, humanitarian arguments advanced by U.S. politicians to justify military interventions around the globe. Sanders said, quote, "I've heard well-founded concerns about China's brutal reception of the Uyghur ethnic minority. I've heard rightful outrage about Putin's brutal attacks against Ukraine and bombing of civilian installations. I've heard genuine concern about Iran's outrageous crackdown on peaceful protesters. But what I want to say to all these folks, nobody is going to take anything you say with a grain of seriousness. You cannot condemn human rights around the world and then turn a blind eye to what the United States government is now funding in Israel. People will laugh in your face. They will say, you are concerned about China, you are concerned about Russia, you are concerned about Iran. Well, why are you funding the starvation of children in Gaza right now?" Sanders concluded, quote, "So, we must pass the resolutions from a legal perspective. For our own best foreign policy interests, we will lose our credibility on the world stage," unquote. Senator Peter Welch also spoke in favor of the resolutions as a means of advancing U.S. geopolitical interests in the region. He said that blocking them would, quote, "harm our goals for the Jewish democratic state, a secure democratic independent Israel, and a disarmed Palestinian state," unquote. The three Senate resolutions 111, 113, and 115 under consideration Wednesday would only block under $1.1 billion of the $20 billion package. Each of the resolutions focused on so-called offensive weapons. These include tens of thousands of tank rounds, mortar shells, and joint direct attack munitions, or JDAMs, which convert unguided dumb bombs into so-called precision munitions. Resolutions focused at blocking transfer of tactical vehicles at $583 million, F-15 fighter aircraft and upgrades at $18.82 billion, and anti-jamming technology for GPS receivers were not considered. During the debate session, several Democrats spoke in opposition to all of the resolutions. Nevada Senator Jackie Rosen, a Democrat, claimed that if the U.S. did not provide the GPS-guided bombs, more civilians would be killed. She claimed, quote, "by providing Israel with these weapons, which are more precise and more accurate, you can reduce civilian casualties." Chair of the Foreign Relations Committee, Maryland Senator Ben Cardin, a Democrat, lamented, quote, "why isn't there more focus on the terrorists?" unquote. Republican war hawk and Trump ally, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, joined the majority in voting against the resolution and blamed Hamas for using, quote, "their own people as human shields," unquote. The same day, the Senate rejected any slowdown in weapons shipments to Israel. The U.S. also vetoed a resolution at the U.N. calling for a, quote, "immediate, unconditional, and permanent ceasefire," unquote. Both votes demonstrate that American imperialism support for the ongoing genocide is absolute and unconditional. The Biden administration, with the support of both the Democrats and the Republicans, has armed and financed the genocide as part of an escalating global war in the Middle East and beyond. Sanders' shabby maneuver in the Senate was aimed at providing cover for this bipartisan ruling class policy. This has been Paul Fuller for the World Socialist Website.
The World Socialist Website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.